Bible companies and Bible groups often make lists of the top 10 Bible stories. Thank you, Father Archie, for inviting me to come in one of the top 10. This and the Good Shepherd are the two favorite stories in the Bible. So there's part of me that says I should just sit down because you already know everything. But the Bible constantly challenges us to a deeper understanding of its meaning, not a more complicated understanding, but a deeper understanding. And this particular gospel is a true gift because I believe that we could relate to every single person that is being described today. Certainly, each of us at some point in our lives have wanted to get away. We're tired of our parents, we're tired of our brothers and sisters, we might even be tired of our high school and our friends. We think we're ready to sort of set our own stage, to do what we want to do. And I suspect there are those sitting here today that have felt that way, not only in one's youth, but oftentimes as we get older as well. Responsibilities seem to become too great, too many mistakes have been made. Time to get away. Time to leave it all behind and start a new life. The grass is always greener on the other side of the street. So we can all relate to the younger son. And we can all relate to the older son. Dutiful, responsible, those of us who have stayed home to take care of parents or children or particular relatives or the family business. We haven't had a chance to sow our oats, so to speak, because we've been dutiful, and we have done what we thought we should do. And then there's another person, too, and I believe this person dwells in each of us, the one who is loving, kind, forgiving, embracing, joyful, wise, compassionate. That person is also in each of us and in all of us. Well, we all know that the younger son was a dreamer. He had a lot of ideas. He also was a planner. I'm sure he just didn't wake up one morning and decide he was going to ask his father for money for his share of his inheritance. I'm sure he thought about, well, how is he going to ask his father? And what is he going to say? And here is the one who, you know, plans it all out. He was seeking greater stature and power and fun and a way to get something new and different. And so his father gave him the money, and he went off, and he had all these great hopes and dreams. I know you have children like this, right? At least one of you must have a child like this who goes off with great hopes and great dreams. Don't worry, Mom. Don't worry, Dad. I can handle it. I know what I'm doing. I can do it. And they're there, and they're having a great time. And then things change. They've had a wonderful time doing everything they wanted to do. In modern terms, it could be that they got that fancy car they always wanted at a swank apartment, really nice clothes. A lot of women wanted to go out with them, nice restaurants. All things looked bright and beautiful. The Bible even says that the son went forth and experienced a riotous lifestyle. And the word riotous in the Greek refers to any action that's unrestrained by convention or morality. And we know lots of people like that. Lots and lots of people, whether it's in college campuses or nursing homes. all know that we don't outgrow that desire to be different and to be full of fun and excitement. So, he wasted his money on wine, women, and song, and on the cars he bought, and he dabbled in drugs and alcohol, and there was adultery. He fabricated stories. He invested in risky projects. Overuse of credit cards, on and on. That was the younger son. That's all of us. Everyone sitting here today has at some point exemplified some riotous living. And we thought we were on the right path. But what happened was that the son spent all he had, and he didn't expect that there was going to be a famine in the land. He didn't plan for the future. So he wound up working with the pigs and sloshing around in the mud. And he realized that he wouldn't even mind eating the pods that were fed to the pigs. That's how desperate he was. And that's how desperate some people get. A life misspent, and all of a sudden found desperately wanting. What started out as a lot of fun was threatening and dangerous. The younger son was foolish, but not unlike Peter. Not unlike Peter when the cock crowed and he realized that he had betrayed Jesus, and all of a sudden he came to his senses, just like the son. When all was dark, he came to his senses, and he realized he was wrong. Just like Peter, or the Samaritan woman at the well, in the midst of her conversation with Jesus, she realized that he knew her completely, that nothing could be hidden from him. And still, he was helping her draw water, and she ran back to her town, and she shared with the people, I met this man who knew everything about me. Come and see. She had come to her senses. She realized that the hidden life was not as freeing as the life that was open and vulnerable. And Jesus, in knowing her, allowed her to open her senses and recognize that there was another life ahead. And not unlike Joseph and his brothers, the brothers who were envious of him and dug a pit, remember that? And they threw him in the pit with his beautiful garment of multicolored coat, and they took the coat and they dipped it in animal blood and went back to their father and said, your son has died, an animal has gotten him. And then 20 years later, they met up with Joseph again in famine, in desperation, and Joseph revealed himself, and they came to their senses, and they wept, and they found a new way of living. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, up in the sycamore tree, looking at Jesus, Jesus went to his house, and Zacchaeus realized that he had been cheating people and using people, and he came to his senses. And he turned around, and he found freedom. How about you? How about you? Have you come to your senses? Have you been able to admit that you were wallowing around in a land that was forsaken, a land that wasn't feeding you, a relationship that was deadly, looked good in the beginning, but a family was destroyed, and children left behind? How about you? Little drink here, little drink there. Not much, you know. Couple of cocktails at lunch, few when you get home. All of a sudden there seems to be discord, acting out. And how about the credit cards? It looks good, doesn't it? Taking people here, there, and everywhere. But then you find yourself anxious, nervous, because you've overspent pretending to be somebody that you're not. You see, most of us can go on merrily until we get to that point where we realize, maybe for the first time, that we're in the mud, full of pigs, and we're not going anyplace. We're going round and round. And our life isn't a liberating life, but an imprisoning life to others. And we blame others, and we say it hasn't happened or it's not quite that bad. Just like people who abuse others often say, it's not that bad, or you don't understand. If you only understood, you would feel differently. We hide and we fool ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So when we get to the point where we are at our lowest ebb, there really is only one way back, is to admit the truth and turn around and start walking. Turning around is not just going from one point to another, it's turning inward to the God who lives in you, to the temple of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, to the Father's love, to Jesus' word of power and of truth, which is not out there. It is out there, but it is in here as well. And repentance is turning around to the very best in yourself, to the self that God created and made true and whole. It's turning around from all that appears to be lovely and good to all that is true and righteous. And you might say, it's too much. I can't do that. I'm ashamed. I'm guilty. I can't do it. The cost is too great. My friends are going to question me. My spouse might leave me. My children will be disappointed in me. The cost is too great. I don't want to pay the price. Well, my friends, Jesus has already paid the price for us. Jesus has already measured the cost, and without even worrying about it, paid the check, picked up the bill. The love of God is so strong that whatever you have done cannot separate you from that profound relationship. Jesus has paid the price. Now, I'm not saying you can go back and everything will be okay. What I am saying is that Jesus will give you the strength, the power, and the conviction to learn who you really are in His divine and loving presence, that you will find within you the life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that life will allow you to overcome every barrier. When you turn around and go back, your boss might not want to embrace you. Your wife or husband may have had it. Your kids may be far away. But the Father's love will be there, will come after you, will embrace you and put on your hand, your finger, a ring, and on your shoulders, garments. And you will discover a love that was always there for you, but which you didn't notice, or you didn't find, or you didn't believe in. It will be there. And what will you discover? You will discover that there is a party for you, a joyous banquet. And that banquet is God's kingdom. That banquet is God's liberty and freedom. It's not going back to the cars and the fancy apartment and the house. It's not going back there, because now you have found something more precious. And God has found you again. You have allowed yourself to be found by God. The hymn we just sung was really perfect. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. That's how big God's mercy is. And that mercy is waiting for you. It's waiting to be used. It's waiting to be given, freely given. If Lent is a time to prepare for the Paschal feast and the Paschal mystery of dying and rising again, then this Lent for you is a time to prepare yourself so that you might come to yourself, come to your senses, and return to what you know to be the most important journey of your life, the journey to Christ. And if you could do that, you think this community is extraordinary now. You haven't seen anything. You think you have a good family now. Just wait. You think that all is miserable, difficult. There's hope. There's a wideness in God's mercy. There is healing in his blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.